say you want one more song, or do you want, no? All right. We'll leave it right where it's at.
Very good. Good morning, everyone. My name is Reverend Carol Baker, and I'm pastor of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls. And as always, if you are a visitor with us today, we hope that you will come back with us each and every Sunday. We will probably be using this medium for some time to come. And so I'd like to ask Pastor Glenn, our youth pastor, if he would please call us to worship at this time.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Let us call ourselves to worship, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever.
In due time.
Lord Jesus, we are often humbled in your presence as we realize that we have not loved our neighbor as we love ourselves. You taught us to nourish those who hunger and thirst, to invite the stranger in and clothe those who are without clothing, and to visit those who are sick and in prison. How often do we overlook those basic needs of those around us? And as a result, we do not do those things for you. As you said, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. Let us be mindful of that as we pray the prayer you taught your disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This is our time for announcements. Once again, I would remind you that our church office is trying to stay open on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but please call before you come, just in case we are not there. We are still down to our last two masks at the office, but you're welcome to come and claim those anytime you would like to do so. I would remind you that our mission for this month has been RIP, Rest in Peace, Medical Debt, and they haven't updated any more of the figures on the conference website, but because of the generosity of churches of the Southern New England Conference of the United Church of Christ, we are going to be able to declare $14.8 million of medical bills being paid off. And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful mission, a wonderful thing to do. Is there anyone out there that has an announcement? Dave, did you have any to make today? Or Glenn, just unmute yourself and do so. Yeah, Dave?
Yes. No? Yeah, I'd just like to say, it's as far as the music goes today, I'll be introducing some of the hymns that we're going to be hearing. But I also wanted to just make a formal apology that the days just caught up with me, and I didn't realize it was Memorial Day weekend this weekend. And we usually do, the choir usually does a patriotic tribute or something like that. And it just didn't happen with me trying to record all kinds of hymns, and just got away from me. So I apologize if you're going to miss that this year, but we'll have a star-studded extravaganza when we can get back together and sing some patriotic music. But I just wanted to, maybe 4th of July, we'll do some.
That's
some
good fine. Old, That's absolutely fine, Dave. As a matter of fact, because of my age, I lost Memorial Day in my brain because it was always March, May 30th, remember? Right. Remember those days? So when it came so early this year, it really did sneak up on us. But thank you for that. Thank you, Dave. Anyone else have an announcement they'd like to make? If not, then Dave, would you like to introduce the next piece of music?
Yes. So in your emails, you should have gotten the words, the lyrics for this. This is a hymn that's right out of our hymnal, He Leadeth Me. And the lyrics came, so you can either read them in your email, or if you've printed them out already, or on your phone in your email. Reverend Carroll also sent them out just a day or so yesterday, I believe. So the lyrics are there. There's three verses, and chorus, just singing in your own room to yourself or to others that are in your room. If you unmute yourself, you will be the only voice heard amongst all our people here today. So I don't think you want to do that. So leave yourself muted, but by all means, sing along and enjoy the singing of He Leadeth Me.
Blessed thought, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me by His own hand. He faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by what is still of troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me by His own hand. He leadeth me, His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Lord, I would place my hand in thine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. His own hand He leadeth me, His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
This is the time we share our celebrations, and I'd like to remember the fact that this is indeed Memorial Day weekend, and we celebrate those who gave their lives in service to our country, whether they be military, and now all of those who have died fighting this terrible virus. I was looking around. I can't see you all right now, but I'm glad to see that Carmen is here. Her husband will be in our concerns. He had some emergency heart surgery, and so Carmen wasn't sure she could be here, but I see her, and that is wonderful. It's also good to welcome Judy to our service. We can see her now, finally, which is really nice. Very good. Are there any other celebrations that anyone would like to lift up? You may certainly unmute yourselves and do that.
My mom has one that she wants to share. Good morning. I just want to celebrate the fact that Megan is an actual graduate of CCRI with a virtual commencement ceremony next Friday at 4 p.m. No idea how that works, but it's been a long struggle for her, and she persevered, and I am so grateful and so proud of her.
Congratulations, Megan. I went to my first virtual commencement. It was interesting, so you should look forward to that as well. Very good. Anyone else like to share a celebration at this time?
Hey, Reverend Carol. It's Eric.
Hey, Eric.
Just want to give you guys an update, let you know
please.
That Cora is still doing really well. We go to see her virtually every day. I think there's only been one day since she's been born that we haven't gone down to visitor, but she's still doing well. She's almost 3 pounds now. She's off of her airflow, so she only has her feeding tube in her nose now. She doesn't have any other tubes in her nose or anything. She's off her IV. She has her own room now. So before she was sharing with other NICU babies, so she has her own room, so we can go in there and just sort of relax and hang out for as long as we want when we do go visit her. She's still plugging along, doing really well. And Aaron is obviously recovering very well as well. No more pain, really, just still some discomfort here and there, but they're both my girls are doing good.
Congratulations, that's wonderful. And we celebrate that with you. We can hardly wait till you have Cora home. I know that's gonna be probably, have they given you a timeline yet?
Not yet. They just told us really, so like worst case again is until her full term date, which is not until July.
July, yeah.
They told us like sort of the minimum requirements. She has to weigh at least 4 pounds to sit in a car seat. She has to be able to regulate her body temperature on her own, has to be able to eat on her own. So just things like that. So just one day at a time kind of thing, and see how she continues to make progress.
One step at a time. We'll continue to pray for her.
Thank you.
Very good. Any other celebrations?
I'd like to celebrate that Eric can now say my girls. I think that's cool.
Very good. Other celebrations? Then let us turn to our concerns as a church family. We have an ever-growing list, although I'm still not sure that there is anyone in our church family that has been affected by the coronavirus, which is wonderful news and is a celebration as well. But we pray this morning for people who are ill and others in need of prayer, including Carol and Lee, Cher, Chad, Roberta, who's now at home, and Richard that we mentioned, who had emergency heart surgery this past week. We pray for Nikolai and Tyler, for Jen and Doris. Ed had asked us to pray for Cheryl and John. We do continue to pray for Aaron, Eric, and Cora. For Ed and Janet. Janet, however, unfortunately, is back in the hospital, back at Sturdy Hospital, so our thoughts and prayers are with them. We pray for Wade, for Steve, for Lee, for Carol, that's Bud's wife, Carol, who is due to have vascular surgery soon, if she has not already had it. For Ken, who is struggling with an eye problem. For Brigitte, Marie, Shirley, Matt Trowbridge and his team at the Assisted Living. And Dave has asked us to pray for the Madru family. They had a kayaking accident. Apparently the mother was found, unfortunately, and there's still one person missing. So our thoughts and prayers are with them. For those who are in assisted living and nursing homes, we pray for Bud, for Jackie, for Carol. And we also continue to pray for all of those who are suffering from the coronavirus and for first responders. All of those who work in the medical profession, for those who suffer from addictions, for our government officials who are working hard to protect us. And as always, we pray for our nation, which is a nation still very divided. And we pray for our communities as we face this difficult situation together. So let us pray. Loving God, on this Memorial Day weekend, we pray for peace. Through our appreciative remembrance of persons known and unknown, may we resolve to work for a world that no longer tolerates making casualties of your children. This day we confess our longing for a future in which parents can raise children with confidence that the rumblings of war will be replaced by the triumphant song of life. To the people in places where conflicts now smolder or rage, convey your comfort and your hope, and turn the energy that goes into sustaining a war toward the task of making peace. We pray for peace in this nation. We remain in serious conflict with a deadly virus and how to respond to it. Violence thrives in many forms of abuse. Racial and other interpersonal tensions abound as we fall prey to our prejudices and succumb to stereotyping. The gap between rich and poor widens into a chasm in our economic disaster that is now upon us. Our society's refugees, the homeless, populate streets and shelters. Drugs deal death throughout the population. Fill us with a dedication to make changes, to stand with your spirit of reconciliation and renewal, to risk following Christ as witnesses to your will and ways. We pray for peace within our families and within ourselves, where home is often a battleground rather than a haven, where the fabric of family life is frayed, where abuse goes unconfronted. Enter in, O God, with your power of healing. And also do come into the interior places of our lives where struggles abound, where tangled emotions cause the battle fatigue we know is stress. Help us to use a spiritual eraser on our list of personal enemies and to build friendships as an act of faith. As we pray for all of those in need of your presence, those whose names we have already mentioned and those whose names we now lift into your presence at our homes, and then be, let us be in silence. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, teacher of all of the ways of peace. Amen.
Our scripture lesson for today comes from the letter of James, which is described by Reverend Carroll as a very brief letter. It's rather kind of in a form of a sermon in the form of a letter. Some think it was written by the brother of Jesus, but most biblical scholars think it was written much later at the end of the first century. James writes this to us. This comes from chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. It is not the rich who oppress you. Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You will do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Our next hymn that we lift up in the glory of God is It Is Well With My Soul. And we are blessed to be able to have two of our choir members, Eric and want to sing it today. And you get to see them and get to see them sing it. So this is something we've been, it's an ongoing project to try to get more of us and our faces and our voices on these Zoom meetings, church services. So we're blessed that we can do that and see them. And I'm glad that Eric's mom, Tammy, is on today so she can see your boy sing. So it is well with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin.
I'm going to start it from the beginning. Sorry about that.
It is well.
Thank you. That was absolutely beautiful. I appreciate it so much. We need those words at this particular time, in my opinion. The letter of James, which Wayne just read from, was almost thrown out of the Bible during the time of the Protestant Reformation. Now, why was that? It was because the doctrine of being saved by the grace of God alone was so dominant in Martin Luther's teachings that they felt that James was just not on the same wavelength. But James seemingly says the opposite through this sermon or letter. He says we are saved by our works, by our good deeds. If we don't act impartially toward the poor and the oppressed, then we just may not see salvation. So James didn't seem normal in the growing theology of the Reformation. Nevertheless, it was included in the Protestant Bible, and I am grateful for that. So here's the question that I have from reading these words from James. What on earth is normal? What makes a person normal? What makes behavior normal? What makes our nation normal? And why are we repelled by abnormality? And what in the world will be the new normal when this pandemic shall surely end? What makes a person normal? What behavior helps us judge normal behavior? Let me give you a few examples. I would suppose that many of you know the name Vincent van Gogh. He was a famous Dutch post-impressionist painter who died at the age of 37, presumably by his own hand. He created about 2,100 artworks, including around 860 oil paintings, mostly which date from the last 2 years of his life. I never knew this until I read an article on him that he began his adult life by entering the Christian ministry. I bet most of you didn't know that either. In the winter of 1878, Van Gogh volunteered to move to an impoverished coal mine in the south of Belgium, a place where pastors were usually sent as punishment. It was kind of the Siberia of where you could go as a pastor in those days. He preached and he ministered to the sick, and he also drew pictures of the miners and their families, and they called him the Christ of the coal mines. As a missionary to these miners, Van Gogh identified with them in a very powerful way. He lived as simply as they did. He gave away his good clothing to the poor, and he dressed in shabby clothing. One day, a baker's wife with whom he had boarded saw him and asked why he had given away his good clothing. And Van Gogh replied, "Because I'm a friend of the poor like Jesus was." She was not impressed and told him, "You are no longer normal." Van Gogh's governing body in the church actually agreed with the baker's wife, and they disagreed with Van Gogh's lifestyle and refused to renew his contract. He was forced to find another occupation. And so I suppose it was then that Vincent devoted himself to his art. How about Albert Einstein? School teachers told his parents that he would never achieve anything in life. I almost suspect that Einstein might have been what we call on the spectrum these days. It is said that Einstein, in his adulthood, shuffled in the streets of New York in his bedroom slippers and communicated intelligibly with only a very few close acquaintances. He was so absent-minded, it is said, that his wife had to cut his food up at the dinner table to keep him from slicing off a finger. His memory was so bad, he could not remember names, dates, and phone numbers. He had no car of his own, and he never learned how to drive. He didn't like to wear socks for some reason, and yet he is one of the most celebrated scientists who ever lived. So is it so bad to be abnormal? What about Warren Buffett? Perhaps his name isn't as well known to you. I got to know Buffett because I know he's a very good friend of Bill Gates. You know, they have come together to do a lot of philanthropy. Warren Buffett is one of the richest men in the entire world. He runs, and I'm going to quote from a book that was written by Dan Miller called No More Dreaded Mondays. And this is what he writes about Warren Buffett, the richest man in the world. He runs his $136 billion company. Berkshire Hathaway, Inc. from a small office in Omaha with the notable absence of a computer. He shuns meetings and spent most of a recent Wednesday, this is back in 2008, working on new lyrics to Love Me Tender for a birthday party for his friend Bill Gates. Despite having substantial stakes in Coca-Cola, Wells Fargo, American Express, and countless other companies, Berkshire, as a company, has no public relations, no human resources, and no legal departments. Its headquarters is staffed by just 17 employees. Mr. Buffett occasionally carries a cell phone but does not use it when he's in his home city. He keeps no calculator on his desk and he prefers to do most calculations in his head. Now, these individuals would be considered abnormal by today's standards, and yet how much have they enriched our lives? Think of James's words again. Do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? What James is describing is quite normal behavior. It was normal in his society, and it's normal in our society, and even, heaven forbid, it's true in our churches. Think about it. Wealthy folks are treated differently than poor folks. The top 1% are catered to unmercifully. The bottom 1% are shunned, often called irresponsible, blamed for their own misery. The top 1% live lives in opulence. They're worth millions and even billions of dollars, yet they are taxed less proportionately than you and me. Meanwhile, those at the bottom of society are criticized as being welfare queens when they live on little more than $900 a month to provide for their families. Wouldn't you agree that this is considered quite normal behavior in our society? One of my favorite preachers is Fred Craddock. He's retired now. He was a seminary professor, and he came to one of my classes when I was in seminary, and I just really took to him. And he told about the very first church he served as a student. They had a fund called the Emergency Fund. I suppose that's like what we call our Deacon's Fund. They had about $100. What would that be today, 50 years later? Probably about $1,000 in it. And they told their young pastor he could use it at his discretion, provided he dispensed the money according to the conditions which the governing body of the church had set. And so, of course, he asked the question, what are those conditions? And the chairman of the committee said, you are not to give the money to anyone who is in need as a result of laziness, drunkenness, or poor management. And Craddock asked, well, what in the world else is there? What's it for? And then he added, as far as I know, they still have that same $100 in that particular fund. James is suggesting that most people are considered to be normal. But as Christians, he suggests that we're called to be the abnormal ones, treating everyone without prejudice and with impartiality. What does that say about our current situation? What in the world is normal? The answer, I fear, is nothing is normal anymore and will probably be this way for a long time. What do we do about resuming normal worship? I'm calling on the leadership of our church to look at a very comprehensive paper from our United Church of Christ denomination that spells out what they call phasing forward in the church. It's similar to the governor's plan, but targeting our own churches. And I don't care what our president says. He can't tell me to open the doors of the sanctuary if I don't think it's a good idea, because I answer to a higher authority. In essence, we were asked last Tuesday by our denomination not to rush back into our sanctuaries. And I really like these words that they open with. We are not reopening because we were never closed. It's true. We're finding new ways to meet together and to be in worship. It's a very comprehensive document. And here are some of the suggestions that they talk about. Limited attendance. At this point, we're not supposed to have any more than 25 people in the sanctuary. Well, what good does that do? Other suggestions are masks. We all have to wear masks. That's a given. social distancing, that's a given, sanitizing every hard surface in the building before and after every worship service, no singing out loud, no praying out loud, and here's the killer for our church, no coffee hours. That's a deal breaker. I'm concerned about those who cannot attend this form of worship. I understand that, but at most it takes a landline or a cell phone. So there are ways, and we're trying to work with people to get them onto the ways they can join us in worship. What about the old normal? You know, we didn't worry too much about people who could not physically make it into our sanctuary, did we? I mean, we did put in an elevator. Some people don't have the ability to drive anymore or even get to the building. And so we're talking about, in some way, making our service available online, just as we are doing now, even when this pandemic is under control and we are back to whatever that new normal is. And we're going to have to do some study into how to do that the best way. It might just be that this is our new normal for many more weeks to come. And maybe, just maybe, the new normal will mean a better future for all of God's children. A future that, in James' word, will prove that we really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. May God be with us as we fight through this pandemic to a future normal that we could not have imagined back in March when everything in the world changed for us. Amen.
Please receive the benediction. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. And Jesus will empower us to accomplish his purposes. Claim your place as his beloved children, for that is what we are. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you all for being here. And Wayne and Eric, didn't someone tell you you shouldn't wear hats in church when you sing amen?